In Proverbs chapter 8, this evening, reading from verse 32 through verse 36. This is the eighth message in this chapter. We're going to bring it to close this evening. I'm going to be titling the message tonight, actually from verse 34, even though we're going to cover verse 32 through 34. I'm going to be titling it, Watching and Waiting for Wisdom. Notice with me as we read from verse 32. It says, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Father, we do thank thee again tonight for the privilege you've given us to assemble together in thy house with thy people. And Father, as we come here tonight, we do pray as we always do that you speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, your blessings, your anointing to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray that as we continue tonight to look at the subject of wisdom, that we would not get bored with this. You mention this so much throughout your word, especially here in Proverbs. We just pray that we'd be excited and diligent and considering this, for we know, Lord, this is our life physically and spiritually. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we were in verses 22 through verse 31, and we titled that Eternal Wisdom. And again, this is the eighth message, bringing this to a conclusion here this evening. And notice now as we come back here to verse 32. In verse 32. Now, I originally divided the chapter into three sections. And of course, I told you we'd be preaching several messages. In verses 1 through 5, we have here, wisdom is available to all. This is what we've seen from chapter 1 until now. Wisdom is available to all, no matter who they are, what age they are. We also find in verses 6 to 11 the value of wisdom, and we've covered that two or three times already in this book. And then verses 12 through 36, we find here wisdom's benefits and blessings. Wisdom, benefits, and blessings. Now, what we looked at last week in verse 22 through 31, we see here, for instance, like beginning in verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Notice as we read these verses, wisdom has been speaking forth the truth since before the creation of this world. And we also find in these verses that wisdom has always been a companion of the Lord God, our Creator. Now, in verse 32, he begins with the words, Now, therefore. In other words, in view of all that's been said so far, he's kind of bringing this to a conclusion now. And he says in verse 32, Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. O ye children, well, it has to do with mankind, the sons of Adam. As in verse 4, he says, Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. So this is, again, this is speaking to humanity, to all mankind. And he says here in verse 32, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, and for blessed are they that keep my ways. Now, we see here the word blessed. This word has the ideal of a happy favor that would be shown on us. And if you want to write down a few verses, in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, it says there, this is not the whole verse, but it says, Blessed are they that hear the words, the word of God, rather, and keep it. And then in the book of Psalms, we sing this psalm, and you probably most of you have got it memorized, but in verse 1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's talking about blessed is this man. And also the first part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he begins in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then he closes this section with, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So the word blessed in the scripture basically means happy. And so we find that happiness is in our God, in His wisdom and in His word and His truth. That's where we find true peace and true happiness and contentment. Now he says here in verse 32, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep His ways. Now think about this, and I've said this last week and the week before. If wisdom was so important in the creation of this world, the creation of man, the creation of the universe, would you not think that it's very important in our Christian life? As we go through this life, and we're going to see here that we need to seek this daily, not just occasionally, not just when we get in trouble and need help with something, but we need it daily. Well, he says now in verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Now, I took my title from verse 34. We'll get that to that in just a moment. Watching and waiting for wisdom. But notice in verse 33, he speaks about hearing instruction. In other words, listening to truth, listening to wisdom. We find this in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty invention. We find this in verse 15. By me kings reign, princes decree justice. Also in verse 16 and 17, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Again, verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. And then in verse 19, we'll see the importance and value of this. Let us turn for just a moment to the New Testament. Hold on to the book of Proverbs. And let's look at just a few thoughts on the subject of ears to hear, hearing instruction, listening. Notice in the book of Matthew in chapter 11, if you're taking notes, Matthew 13, verse 15, speaks about having ears to hear. And he speaks of the people here as having the dulling of hearing in this particular place. And then he said in verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's speaking there are those who are dull of hearing and cannot see spiritually. But in Matthew chapter 11, please notice here, Matthew chapter 11, we have several sermons on this subject. I think it's so important that we heed to God's Word. We listen to God's Word. We read it. We believe it. And I think we preached two sermons either earlier this year or early last year on this subject. Now, notice as we come here, and keep in mind what the Lord said also in Luke 16:31, in speaking of hell, and the rich man wanting someone to go witness to his brothers. And it says in verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If people will not believe this book, they're not going to believe it under any other circumstances. We either get it now and accept it, or we will not have God's truth and God's wisdom. Now here in this passage, in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 15, And I was going to read the context to this. I will back up and read just a few verses. I'll read from verse 11, speaking of John the Baptist. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least into the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." In other words, we find that men and women at times, rush in to the kingdom as those taking a city. There's a parallel passage with this in Luke that the wording is a little bit different, but the meaning is the same. And he goes on to say, he said in verse 13, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, if you will receive it," that is the kingdom, "this is Elias, which was for to come." Verse 15, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now that seems like a simple statement, but it's a very profound statement. We must have ears to hear, and we must have eyes to see. This is a proverbial expression requiring the highest attention to what is spoken or what is read. And so this is how the Lord words this. Notice again in chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, this is the transfiguration. The Lord reveals himself to Peter, James, and John in verses 1 through 5. He's transfigured before them to give them this vision and of his glory and his majesty and looking unto his second coming. But you'll notice that as we come to verse 5, that we have a voice here from heaven and says in verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice the last three words, "Hear ye him." And again, this is so simple, but it's so profound. And many times people look over this, but we're to be listening to Christ. How we listen to him is through his word. Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Notice with me in Luke chapter 19. And also, here's just a few other verses, if you just want to write them down. Luke chapter 9, verse 44 says, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." And you'll have to look at the context there. Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, beginning in 2:7, we find that the Lord says seven times, each to the seven churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so seven times, each one of those churches, and then there's an invitation given in Revelation chapter 3, when you come to the Laodicean church, there's an invitation that is given here, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," so we come back to this about hearing, not just hearing, but really hearing it. And he goes on to say, "And open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." We're going to see the gates and the door in our section in Proverbs in just a moment, the importance of the gates and doors of God. And so he's saying here, if any man will hear my voice and open the door, that the Lord would sup with us, that he would have communion with us and fellowship with us. Also, you can write down Revelation chapter 22, the last invitation in the Bible is going to be in verse 17. And he says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So these invitations to hear, he that has ears to hear or listen to the word of God, is given to us in many places. Now, notice as we come here to the book of Luke in chapter 19, and I want to come down to verse 41, and then we'll go back to our text. In verse 41, this is the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and riding the donkey. And it says in verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes." Now, what Israel did as a whole, they weren't listening. They did not have ears to hear. There was a remnant. There was a remnant. There was a little flock. There was a holy nation bringing forth the fruits thereof that did believe, beginning with the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and others. And then the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. They had ears to hear. But this is a prophecy that we know that happened in A.D. 70. And one reason that this prophecy came, they did not have ears to hear and eyes to see. And let me read on. They said in verse 43, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and lay thee even with the ground of thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." It's like Matthew 24, the first few verses. He says, "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." According to Luke chapter 1, verse 68, the Lord visited Israel, and they didn't even know that this was God visiting them in flesh. And then he said in verse 45, "And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Now I read those verses to get to verse 47 and 48. Verse 47, "And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were," notice, "very attentive to hear him." There's always that remnant. God has always had that remnant from Abel on that will listen to him and follow him and believe his word. He had them in the first century, and the Lord has that remnant today. Now notice as we go back, hold on to Luke, but go back with me. Be turning to Luke. Well, I tell you what, you can turn loose of Luke. I'll just read it to you. But notice as we come here to back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 8. And now let us come to verse 34. This is where that I have titled the message tonight, Watching and Waiting. Now notice he said in verse 34, he uses the word blessed again. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Now, this is a quote, another author that I've taken several years ago, and he said it in reference to this verse, it's like the priest waiting at the doors of the tabernacle for assured blessing, or the people waiting at the temple gates for his return from his holy ministration. In other words, the ideal of watching and waiting, Exodus 29, 42, and Luke chapter 1, verses 10 and verse 21. As Zacharias went in to perform his duties, he was delayed in there for a while, but the people were outside praying. He went in to burn incense. And the Lord spoke to him and told him that they would be the parents of, you know, the coming of John the Baptist, as we know. But you look at the context there, we find him going in to minister, waiting on the Lord, and the people are praying and waiting outside on the Lord, watching and waiting. We did a sermon a few years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, titled Watching and Waiting. Last week in the sermon on the days of Noah, I mentioned this a little bit, spent a little bit of time on it. Why is this important, watching and waiting? Well, notice he says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me." We come back to this thing of hearing instructions and listening and heeding to. And he says, first of all, he says, "Watching daily at my gates." Daily. Every single day we need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom in our physical life, and we need it in our spiritual life. We need it. We need Him. And He says here in verse 34, "Watching daily again, not on occasions when we're in trouble, we're financially strapped, or we're having family problems, or we're having one problem after. No, we need God every day. We seek Him daily for our spiritual well-being and our physical well-being. But He says, watching daily at my gates, That's public places. In other words, we find that the cities, the walls around the cities in ancient time, there were gates. Jerusalem had different gates. I can't remember, so one was a fish gate. There's different names that they had. And the gates were public places which led into the city, and many times leaders would meet at these gates and make decisions. It was like a place of a court. It was a place of public announcements. And we find here, he says, blessed is the man that heareth me watching daily at my gates, at God's gates. In other words, this, if you will write down Psalms 118, verses 19 and 20, the writer is speaking of seeking the Lord's gates of righteousness. God has gates of righteousness. He also has a straight gate, and there's a narrow gate in opposition to that which is broad, going to destruction. That's Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. But notice he also mentions doors here. He said, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now, coming back to the gates in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, the Lord is calling the simple, publicly calling them in the streets and in the gates and so forth. But he mentions here the doors, and there's several thoughts on that, but let me just give you one in John 10, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said, I am the door. In other words, He is a door of entrance into life, in contrast to the door of death that's mentioned there with the false prophets and the hirelings. So we see the importance of watching and waiting daily, the gates, the doors. But let's come back to this, these words, watching and waiting, just for a moment. Again, we've discussed this before, but these are so important. And let me read just a few verses. You can come with me if you want. Matthew 26, and then I'll give you a few others. Matthew chapter 26. Now, when we talk about all of this, kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but when we talk about these things, there's a passage you might want to jot down in Matthew 12, verse 42, because it says that the queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba, says the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, because this generation was destroyed in AD 70. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This queen that had everything that she needed, servants, an empire, everything she needed, she was intrigued about what God was doing in Solomon's life. And you compare that, there's a couple of places, but you compare that with, again, I'm getting ahead of myself right now, I was going to save that to the last, but you compare that with 1 Kings 10. I'm just giving you the passage. It says that the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. Now listen to this. This is verse 1. Heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. She heard that God was dealing with Solomon and speaking through Solomon. And then another statement here, she said in verse 8 and 9, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God. This is the Queen of Sheba. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. She brought a ton of gifts and came to sit and listen to the wisdom that God had given to Solomon. If the Queen of Sheba can travel from one end of the earth to the other, surely we can travel into our devotions in the morning or at night, and we can seek the Lord in that way. And when we need counselors, seek out counselors. And of course, obviously, we assemble ourselves together and study together in the Word. But if a queen that doesn't need anything can travel across the world, the least we can do is get on our knees on a daily basis and get in His Word and ask Him to direct us. Well, where did I tell you to turn now? Told you I got sidetracked there. In Matthew 26. In Matthew 26. Now, a couple other verses on this thing about watching would be in Matthew 24, verse 42. And the only reason I'm giving that, we read that last Sunday morning. And also in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, the virgins with their lamps, the Lord has told them to be watching. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, we find there the issue of watching for the coming of the Lord. Now in Matthew 26, this is the night before the crucifixion. And I'm coming down to verse 37. Begin reading here, and let me give you a definition of watching. I think we all know what it means. It means expectancy. To be awake, to be alert, to be focused, vigilant. Pick any of these words you like, and there's many more synonyms. To be on guard, to be sober-minded. But it's to be expecting something. So we're told all through the Scriptures, in Proverbs and before, here in the New Testament, that we're to be watching. And again, I've said to you, watching for the Lord's coming is not sitting on a mountain somewhere in MREs. It's serving and waiting and watching and being faithful to the Lord, occupying till He comes. Well, here in this passage, in verse 37... this is Gethsemane, and it says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Notice, watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why? Because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So watching, again, is to be awake, to be alert, to the expectancy, vigilance, to be on guard, to be sober-minded. Now, what about waiting? Turn with me to the book of Luke here. Let's just stay, the book of Luke. I'm going to go back there. Many verses in my mind. We'll just stick with just a few. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, and I'll give you another passage that you can jot down. Luke chapter 2, you can just jot it down, verse 25 through 38. We find that Simeon and Anna both were waiting and watching for the first coming of Christ. As a matter of fact, the word waiting is used in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 with Simeon, and it says there that he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. So Simeon is a good example for us to be watching and waiting for he was waiting for the first coming, we're waiting for the second coming. What was he doing? Serving the Lord. He wasn't idle. And then Anna is in the same chapter in verse 36 through 38, And Anna is doing the same thing. She's watching and waiting. She's serving. She's fasting. She's at the temple quite often, you know, in service for the Lord. Well, notice now as we come to chapter 12, and let me read a few verses. We'll go back and close in Proverbs. He says here in chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, he said in verse 35, let your loins, speaking of the second coming, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. This passage here, again, we see the issue of watching and waiting for the second coming, but verse 37, the latter part of that, the Lord himself, he shall serve his faithful servants when he comes. We'll get to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Lord's going to serve us as we have served him. That's an amazing statement. And again, if you read on through the chapter, he talks about being ready and the faithful and the unfaithful servants. Let's go back and close in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, reading the last two verses. And again, if wisdom is needed in creation, it's needed in our daily life. Never forget that. There's nothing more important than seeking the Lord's face. And it's easy to bust out into our day, and it's easy to just try to make things happen ourselves. But let us trust in the Lord. And here we are as we come to the last two verses. I'm coming down now to verse 35 and 36. And he said, for whoso findeth me findeth life. That is eternal life and many times physical life as well. And he says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. We all want favor, do we not? We love favor. And so this is a way to get favor of the Lord. In other words, have a rich, full, fruitful life. And I know we all want to be fruitful. And we want everything that God has for us. We want a full life. I mean, you could live to be 100 and have a full life or not have a full life. You could live to be 29 and have a full life if you're walking. Well, I'm thinking about David Brainerd that died at 29 years of age, had a full life. I mean, his life was dedicated to the Lord. And but there's folks that live to be 100. I know of one that just died 2 years ago, 99. I was her pastor for many years, had a full life physically and spiritually. Another one that died at 101 that had just died this year, a full life physically and spiritually. That's what we want, is it not? Yeah. To have both of those. Well, let's close in verse 36. Here's the negative of this. He says in verse 36, but he that sinneth against me, that is against wisdom, we could say against God, but sinneth against wisdom. Notice, wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. Now that's just the statement God has given. And we find here this death here, again, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we find here that this again can refer to physical or spiritual. And with Judas Iscariot, it was both. The death, physical, early death, and also he died spiritually to the things of God. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank thee this evening again for this opportunity you've given us. Lord, we don't take it lightly. Lord, that you've given us the privilege in thy house to come together, fellowship, to sing, Lord, to look into your word, to pray. We thank you for that corporate time we have together. Lord, we thank you for your word, the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, we just ask now thy blessings upon the remaining of this service, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.